You remember not too long ago, the thing that was going on was WWJD. What would Jesus do? Well, I want to talk to you today about JDD. Now, the question for all of us, and we're all responsible, we're all, it says in Psalms, to be still and know that I'm God. But the question is this, how much time do you spend with God? That's a heart-wrenching question that only you can answer. Now, I don't mean doing mission projects or attending meetings or hosting the next big event. Obviously, some of us attend church almost every Sunday. But what about the rest of the day? Or for that part, the rest of the week when church is over? Do you intentionally take time out from all activities, the exceptions, the schedules, the responsibility to really sit at the feet of Jesus? Can you hear God's voice amidst the din of culture, or even your own household, or your own mind with all the crazy stuff that goes on around us? All of us have a mind that just sometimes is like, bleh. Being present has, in our culture, a challenge for relationships, let alone a relationship with God. And even the concept that we call the Sabbath in our culture has evolved into me time or Ralphie time, and it's a commodity of time, and being a key word in the occasion. But as we all know, God's time is nothing to do like our time. God's time is Sabbath time. But it was meant especially for us to have a suspension of time to take a rest. An ability to step out of time, if you would, and into a sacred place in which we simply revel in the presence of God. Think about it for a moment. Our busyness, our distractions, our stress, our deadlines, our pressure cooker moments, they all occur due to our obsessive courtship with time. Time. We essentially measure our life in segments and fill each bit with tasks and activities and work and other filters, things, and into our lives. Even our leisure time is measured and loaded with things that we would like to do. Well, make a little list when I go on vacation. All the things that I want to do. The human in us, and we're all human, urges us to effectively do, because it rules our lives, keeping us engaged and busy and invested in getting things done. Now, I think most of us find it actually fairly difficult to simply be suspended time or distractive urge to fill if we don't have something to do. And I'm bad about this. If I don't have something to do and I got a little gap in my time during the day, I find something to fill it. It's just me. Even our nothingness is defined by time and doing. So when we do nothing, many of us will feel guilty or anxious and worried about what we are not getting done that we could be getting done. Now, granted, at times we do need to be busy, no doubt about that, but how busy is too busy? Especially when it comes to making time for God. A friend and colleague, Leonard Sweet, that I have known for years, and he's a wonderful man of God, and he playfully calls the Christian tendency towards distraction from Jesus, JDD. Jesus, this deficit disorder. Think about that. Jesus' deficit disorder is the human disciples' habits for distractions that inhibit our ability to spend quality time with God. Now, it's essentially what Martha, in the scripture that I just read, Martha has a case of JDD. Now, we know that Mary and Martha are friends of Jesus, loyal supporters, friends that he was part of their family for a long time. And we know that Jesus spent a good deal of time with them and at their home in Bethany, where he would come and eat with them at their table frequently, and no doubt spend some of the Jewish holidays with them among their other guests. So he loves them dearly. And holy moly, we know he loves to eat too. That's why we know that when Christians met, Christians ate, and if they hadn't ate, they would have never met. And we talked about that in Jesus Around the Table, that Lenten series. Jesus loved the feast, and so do we. So, when we see the interaction between Jesus and Martha, as Dr. Luke described it, we need to be careful not to misunderstand. There's a lot of stuff in the Martha Mary story that you can unpack to relate to all of us. But Jesus loves Martha, and he likely loves her cooking. He probably admired her efficiency, and each disciple, after all, has different gifts. Martha has the gift of hospitality. I want to tell you about hospitality. I got a commentary in my Bible I want to share with you. It's based on verse 42. They are really only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and one won't take it away from her. Martha had the gift of hospitality. Now, Jesus wasn't saying that we should skip all the chores and just sit and talk all day long. But if we spend so much of our effort on cleaning and food preparation and miss time with our guests, we're too exhausted then to enjoy them. We have missed the point of all that. On the other hand, if we spend all of our time in talk, we have missed the privilege of serving our guests and enjoying a meal together. Another issue here was Martha's timing. It seems that as soon as Jesus arrived, she immediately left to prepare the food, virtually ignoring Jesus. So what if Mary and Martha had both spent quality time along with Jesus, and then the two of them have spent time together with the practical matters? So the question for all of us is, evaluate your hospitality in terms of priorities and the impact of your own behavior with your guests. Sometimes we all entertain with guests, and sometimes we do some of the same things you're talking about. But Martha had the gift of hospitality, the ability to be of great service to God's kingdom and God's people and to Jesus. The problem arises when her gifts begin to stray away from humble and loving service and worship to function. And the problem arises when she concerns herself not only with her own distraction, but seeks to instill the sense of busyness and the urgency for detail and function in her sister Mary as well. So our faith becomes dead, and we do things sometimes by rote. It's empty things, ritualistic things, habitual things, tradition-based instead of vibrant and vital and alive and passionate. And it no longer serves the kingdom, but only our own sense of busyness. Now, Jesus is not worried that his dinner will be less than perfect. He wasn't concerned whether it would be cold or even delayed. He was more interested in who was at his table and the worshipful manner in which they take joy in his presence. Had Martha been delighting in her role as hostess, humbly serving the food and reveling in the feast with Jesus, he would have no bone to pick with her at all. But her worship, her prayerfulness, her loving nature was being consumed by her anxiety over the meaningless task of serving and her anger at her sister instead of the service itself. She was going through the motions, but Jesus wasn't in it. Now, we humans are always going to have things to do and people to see and places to go, whether in our own personal lives or in the community or what we call church. We all have responsibilities to fulfill things and make sure they get done. But I love the buts and the ifs. Where our heart lies, who we focus on, makes all the difference. For when our hearts are set on Jesus, even the most trivial things we can do can become like a sweet and fervent prayer. But when we succumb to the JDD, Jesus Deficit Disorder, even in our worship, we become just one more task to be done. Most of the New Testament was written in Greek. That was a common language pretty much of the day, even though Hebrew was there and Aramaic was there. But most of the common language was Greek. And there was a Greek word, and I'm not going to try to pronounce them, but what I do when I run across them, I look up and see what they mean. And the Greek word literally means to be dragged away or drawn away. That's what Martha was. She was drawn away or even dragged away. And her focus on tasks to be done, she found herself drawn away from the focus of God. Now, Jesus didn't admonish her. He's encouraging her with words to refocus and to draw again closer to God so that her service flows from her love of God and their love of Jesus. Jesus knows that Martha loves him. He does not doubt that for one moment. He knows our hearts too, and he knows our heart, and he knows that we truly love him. And when we drift away from the things of God, the sweet, sweet, gentle spirit of the Holy Spirit kind of just keeps us coming back. And Wesley called the Holy Spirit the hound of heaven, always wooing us into that love relationship with God, to draw closer to him, so that we all do. And what flows from a heart sometimes is in steep relationship with our Creator. So when our service flows from relationship with God, no matter how much we find ourselves doing or being, is certain and sure, it's fixed, foundational, built upon and filled with the grace and the love of the Holy Spirit of Christ. It makes all the difference. And whether a person or a church or any other entity within our world, our attention to God makes all the difference. And Jesus calls us today, therefore, not to ignore our gifts or stop serving in ways that nurture the body of Christ, its surrounding neighbors. But what we're called to do is pay attention to the state of our hearts, and namely, who resides within them. So my prayer for all of us as we continue to enjoy life and to get better at what we do, and to be able to have that peace that passes all understanding, is when Christ is allowed to permeate your being and allow the Holy Spirit to give you the wisdom and the grace that you need to make all those choices. And my prayer for all of us that we be blessed in this life and the life to come in your ministry, because every one of you have a ministry. Jane's ministry, what God's gift has given to her in finance and different things, and Debbie has done the same thing in her professional career, and Tina, and all of you. Everything that you do, all the gifts that you have is a ministry to be used to encourage others. And my prayer is that you will all be blessed in this life and all that you do in service to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank and praise you for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity just to come and to encourage one another, Lord, in Jesus' name.